The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 37 of The Catholics of Oz. The Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's synods or science, apostolates and apps, providence or productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello and welcome to episode 37 of The Catholics of Oz. My name is Lindsay Sant and we are very, very happy for you to be joining us for this episode. Before we move on to anything, let me introduce who's here with us today. I'm joined by my wonderful, delightful, awesome sister, Caroline Knight. Caroline,
keep
how are
coming.
You?
I'm great now. Thank you, Lindsay.
One of these days you're going to pay me back with something nice.
I have a lot of nice things to say to you, but yeah.
and to get out of the sibling thing, we also have with us, I'll say something nice. The wonderful, charismatic Lito Saval. Lito, how are you?
And smooth. You forgot the smooth.
And the smooth, yeah. Without the criminal. The smooth Lito. Lito, how are you going today, Lito?
I'm good, guys. How are you? Look, you know what I feel like?
What do you feel like?
I feel like a tonic and gin with some antipasto on the side.
Sounds nice.
Oh, that sounds familiar. There might have been someone on a previous episode of Catholics of Oz who did that with us, yeah?
Unbelievable. Archbishop, unbelievable. He's the best for us, hey? Sorry, other states. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
That was a fun episode.
It was a great episode, yes. We might actually start the episode off by saying, have you listened to episode 36? We were very, very fortunate and excited to be joined by Archbishop Peter Comensoli, the Archbishop of Melbourne. And he was a wonderful guest and we had a lot of fun and had a great discussion. And I think we still can't believe it, that it's come and gone so quickly. It was wonderful to have him on.
Yeah.
So thank you, Archbishop Peter Comensoli, and for telling us that you listen as well. So, we appreciate that.
Now we know,
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. So before we get into today's show, remember to like the Catholics of Oz at the SQPN Facebook page and retweet our episodes on Twitter. Leave us comments on those platforms as well, because we love to hear from you. You can also subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast app. And also, don't forget that StarQuest puts all of its podcasts on YouTube, so you can just search for SQPN on YouTube and find the channel there and subscribe. Hit the bell to get notifications when new episodes of The Catholics of Oz and other great shows on SQPN come out. You can also leave us feedback on Apple Podcasts and other podcast directories. Those wonderful 5-star reviews help us to get noticed by other people, and we really appreciate when you do that and you write a nice comment as well. What are we all about? We're all about reaching people and growing this community of listeners, so we'd appreciate if you could do that. So let's begin with Faith Beyond Borders.
Well, I'm actually feeling rather good about this. I think we've all arrived at a very special place, eh? Oh. Spiritually, ecumenically.
How do you make somebody love you without affecting free will?
Welcome to my world, son. You come up with an answer to that one, you let me know.
Yes, I had to work very hard to pass Latin and theology.
Oh, quite. Those are, of course, the most important things.
Oh, yeah.
This one out, Cap.
I don't see how I can.
These guys come from legend. They're basically gods.
There's only one god, man. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that.
So, Lino and Caroline, I'm not sure if you guys ever go on the internet, or anyone else who's listening, but from time to time, you might frequent the internet place from time to time.
Sometimes.
and the internet's a wonderful place for, you know, gaining knowledge and watching lots of cat videos on YouTube and all kinds of and watching rocket launches.
Rocket launches.
Learning about science, all those. It's also a great platform for Catholics to learn about their faith as well. And this is a wonderful thing. I think we could easily agree that we've all gained a lot more from lots of great Catholic internet producers. I was going to say companies. I just lost my word there. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, apostolates is probably the word I should be talking about. Yeah. Yeah, say, they've done a lot for our faith. And so, including StarQuest. But you know, it's been really good to have this resource. But social media, sometimes, it tends to leave comments, you know, people open to making comments. And sometimes the comments are not always awesome. And what am I getting at here? I'm getting at a video that was released by Bishop Barron recently. And it was all about the comments that he's been receiving on his website and in other forums as well. So I'll give a bit of background to this, and then we might have a bit of a chat. So Bishop Barron produced a letter about, from memory, it was about the attacks on statues that have been happening in some parts of the United States, and some of them include statues of Catholic saints, I think it is. People who listen, mm-hmm. you can inform yep. me a little bit more about yes. this. Yeah. And I think Bishop Barron was trying to explain that that the laity shouldn't necessarily just be saying, what are the bishops doing? What are the bishops doing? He threw it back at us and said, well, what are the laity doing? And he was quoting Vatican II documents about the role of the laity. You know, the laity are not simply sheep who just follow. You know, the laity are part of the church. We're baptized. We're set. We're ready for mission. You know, we're not simply just followers. We are the church. We're the church out there in, you know, in the face of the world. And so he was doing that, and he was quoting some Vatican documents about the role of the laity. And so he got some backlash for that. There's a difference between, I guess, backlash and critique. So you can have critique, and people are welcome to critique, and I'm sure he welcomes that too. But there was also backlash, and he received what he described as calumnious kind of comments. So calumny is kind of the sin of attacking the person, and not just saying something, you know, a casual comment about them, but really attacking their character, their person, that uncharitable kind of thing. So he produced a video where he addressed this, and his message simply was it cut it out? That was his phrase.
Yeah.
Was it? Cut
yeah.
it out.
Trick. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I was just thought we might just have a quick discussion about this, because as a Faith Beyond Borders, we talk about this topic about what Catholics have done well to bring the faith beyond the borders of the church. But this might be one where Catholics are falling a bit short. And this isn't a criticism of anyone who's listening who, you know, who might have felt, you know, offended. Someone might have felt offended by Bishop Barron's video. And this is not a criticism of you if you feel that way, or if you didn't like the video, it's not a criticism of you. But we do want to discuss, I guess, what happens if a person who is not Catholic or who's an atheist or someone else who's curious about the faith stumbles across a Bishop Barron video, and instead of finding discussion and critique about what he said, they find bad bishop, hypocrite, you know, you're the reason why all the bishops are weak in America, and all that kind of stuff. Caroline, can I throw it to you first? Just what are some of the comments or reactions that you had to the video as you were listening to it?
Well, I think one of the comments he said that was that some of the, like, he ended up saying something like, I ended up not minding the comments from atheists. It was the Catholics that made worse comments. I think they were more biting and a little bit more mean-spirited, which is so surprising because, I mean, you know, as a Catholic, I think we need to, you know, if you're really following the teachings of Jesus Christ, we need to kind of take his example and then practice that, you know, practice the teachings if we're really going to be really part of the church. I mean, we are supposed to be charitable to each other. Okay, if you don't agree with something, there's nothing wrong with that. Have a discussion about it, but there's no need to be mean-spirited. And if you feel upset about something, okay, say it, but be charitable in the way you reply. I mean, I have seen other posts from other people as well, and then I see comments, and then I'm very surprised about what I see. I see sometimes, unfortunately, prominent Catholics posting things that I'm very surprised about, attacking other people's personalities or something they've done, and it's like, this is not the community I think we need to be. I think we are not that kind of people. We are supposed to be a supportive people. We're supposed to bring each other up, not beat each other down. You know, we need to be a good example to the world because that's what Jesus asked us to do. And one way not to spread the faith is to put on, you know, show how bad we can behave. And that's really off-putting to people who might think that they may want to follow Jesus, you know. And if they see Catholics and other Christians behaving badly, what are they supposed to think? They're like, oh, well, they're no better than anyone else. why should I follow Jesus if that's what they do? So I think that's something that really stuck out to me. I get disappointed as well. And the bottom line is let's support each other. Let's not beat each other down. And I think, he was kind of surprised himself about the kind of remarks he gets, which, you know, I, in all honesty, completely agree with what he said, you know, so that's my take.
Yeah, no, it's a good take. Yeah. Lito, what about you? What did you think about Bishop Barron's comments?
Yeah, he was just saying that he was just getting attacked on or a comment, and it looks like it's a huge thing that's happening in the media these days. If everything you say or do, what's it called, it's been studied under a microscope, you know. Yeah. You say one word, they'll take that word and use it that in a bigger context, if you know what I mean, and then just blow it to extremes, you know. It's not only about our faith, it's about everything you talk about. You know, even for us, if we say a certain word, I say do something that we will be commented on. You know, and look, I guess it sort of started with our parents as well. You know, if we said something and everything, then they'll talk to us about it. What do you mean you said that for? Hey, or are you? That's the sort of thing. Look, and also what I liked about what's his name? Barron?
Yep. Bishop Barron, yeah.
Bishop Barron. Barron's YouTube. At the end, he said, when you want to relay the message, use truth and love.
Yeah.
And it just seems to just go out of the window or out of the door or wherever it is. And everyone's just, it's just full of negativity and hate when you want to reply to someone or to point your views, hate on the social media, hate on the messages. And what I liked about Bishop Barron's other part was, if you wanted to make a criticism about a journalism or an article you read in the paper, I'm going too old school here, Caroline probably know. I know, of course, you would write a paper, you know, sorry, write a piece of a letter, put it into the envelope, snail mail. Sorry, for the millennials.
Snail mail,
guys. Snail mail. You'll send it over. And then it's up to the editor to rip it up or whatever, or even post it, you know.
Yeah.
But now we've got this social media platform and internet. You'll just get huge influx of inboxes and everything on it.
Instantaneous, isn't it?
Instantaneous, yeah. It sort of reminds, I don't know, it was a comedy, and the guy, he did something, and all of a sudden he was just, his whole office was full of envelopes everywhere.
Yes.
He started swimming through them all. Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to get through there. And now it's virtual. You'll just get attacked. And Bishop Barron was saying that he had to, what was it, employ three people to clear out his inbox?
The
comments online. Oh my goodness me. I can imagine myself looking through them. I go, oh my God, I don't know how long my mental health will last looking through all the negativity and all that stuff going through. But in the end, I liked what he said. If you want to express your view, express everything out, use truth and love and with positivity, you know, or try to have positivity in it, you know, a lot more, because I know we're in this world with our lockdowns and everything, but try to be more happy in a sense, or try to, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Express it.
So yeah.
Yeah, and it's probably important too to remember that, like, it's easy when you're, say, on Twitter or something. It's where I think that's where most people take their frustration out and write the worst comments, it seems.
Exactly.
And you've got to remember that whatever you put on the internet, It stays on the internet.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's probably exactly. like, and everyone can read it. It's not like, you know, you've got to be careful what you say.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be representing yourself in a bad way either. So, give yourself a bit of dignity and think about what you're going to say calmly. If you want to, write it on a piece of paper first, read it.
Yeah, draft it first.
If you think it's appropriate, post it. But otherwise, you know, just think about what you want to say before you go posting nasty things. If you don't agree, that's fine. Write it in a nice manner. Let's be amicable, okay?
Yeah.
Great word, Caroline. Great word.
Thank you.
Lino, when you were talking about, you know, how Bishop Barron was saying, you know, in the past people would just write a letter, the snail mail thing. I was thinking of, there was an episode of The Simpsons where they had Ringo Starr and he was saying that he was going to reply to every single letter that he received, and he's got a room full of letters. And then was it Marge or Homer, one of them received a letter like 20 years later from Ringo Starr?
It was Marge, because she used to be a huge fan of Ringo Starr. Right.
Apologies, listeners. That was what I was thinking about. I remember there was an episode.
Yeah, that's right.
Bring
back memories now.
Yeah.
Oh, Simpsons, so classic. They're so good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've got a thought too. I do find it interesting as well, because the thing is, like, Bishop Barron, I respect him a lot. I really love the work that he does with Word on Fire. And the reason why is because he's one of the bishops who's at the forefront. I wouldn't say just in the United States. I'd say around the world almost. I'd say he's got a pretty big influence. He's at the forefront of evangelization of the culture. So of Catholics, yes, but really he's really trying to get out into culture in the non-Catholic space. He's very passionate about what he calls the nuns, N-O-N-E, and that is the people who indicate that they have no religion. And this is the group that's on the rise in Western society. It's here in Australia now, in our 2016 census. It's the same in, I think it was the Pew Research Survey in the United States. But he, you know, he didn't look at this and go, oh, you know, let's give up. It's, you know, the nuns are on the rise. The church has lost. He's like, no, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to get my hands dirty and have a go at it. He had a lot to say when a survey showed that a lot of American Catholics didn't believe that Jesus was really present in the Eucharist, which is scary. It's concerning.
It's astonishing.
He had a lot to, you know, and he's gone and engaged on that front as well. And in fact, he's gone and, you know, used his resources to produce series on the sacraments and on the Eucharist as a direct response to those kinds of things. So I don't know why people would want to tear him down when he, you know, especially Catholics, when he's the one of the bishops who's right there at the forefront of trying to drive evangelization, drive a relationship with Jesus, you know, drive people back to the Eucharist, Catholics themselves as well. I don't want to criticize Catholics who are who may be uncomfortable with him for whatever reason it might be. But I do, I guess, want to caution Catholics to think about why they don't like Bishop Barron or why they might not be comfortable with his ministry, because there are influential personalities out there, like cashed up Catholic ministries, who have gone after him for things that are really, really unfair. Yeah.
Oh.
And I think now I'm happy to be corrected by this, and please, I'm not trying to be controversial, Catholics. I love you all. But I think I think that his what this started because of a video he produced on hell. And he was talking about hell and, you know, can we have a reasonable hope that that hell might be empty, that there's no one there? And he was saying, we can have this reasonable hope, you know, but we can't guarantee that there's no one in hell, all right? But the thing is, the church has never declared. The church can declare saints, you know, who's in heaven, you know, like, you know, Saint Damien of Molokai. I'm just picking him because he's my favorite, you know. But the church will never declare a person as having as being in hell. And what he's saying, and I'll put a link to the show notes because he had to clarify this, and he clarifies it beautifully on his website. But he's saying that the hope and the idea that it's reasonable is the idea that Jesus has died for all. The resurrection is accessible to everyone. Does that mean everyone will access the resurrection? No, it doesn't. You know, does that mean that it's possible that people will go to hell? Yes. Does Bishop Barron think hell is empty? No, he doesn't. It's on his website, you know. But the thing is, No one, like, people haven't gone and looked at that. They've gone and looked at what internet personalities have said about him instead.
And
unfortunately, you know, these personalities have really misrepresented him. And it started this anti-Baron backlash.
Wow.
Hashtag trademark for making that up. But, you know, but the thing is now, there's kind of a, you know, and people are going to be upset with me saying this, but there's a confirmation bias now where when they see Bishop Baron online, they instantly assume that he said something wrong. You know what I mean? That it's always wrong because he's a bad bishop, you know, that kind of stuff.
I guess it's easy to go along with, like, if other people, you know, a lot of people present something in a certain way, you just take it for face value without actually going and researching and finding out what the truth is. So that's unfortunate. True.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to prompt our Catholic brothers and sisters in charity and in love, not out of criticism. I would never criticize another Catholic. You know, it's always out of love. I prompt you to, and I'll put it in the show notes, but there's a link to his teaching on hell so that you can see exactly that he's Catholic and that he believes what the Catholic Church teaches as well. He hasn't gone outside of church teaching. And having said that, I mean, and this is where you can critique without criticizing as well. You know, you can look at it and you can say, oh, but what about this? But what about that? You know, that, and that's where you can critique and ask questions.
It's healthy to have a discussion. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's where we find out information and, you know, we support each other. So there's nothing wrong with that. There's no reason to be nasty about it, though.
And going back full circle, Vatican II, the laity, it says talk. You're baptized. By virtue of your baptism, you are following, you know, the in the mission of the church, and the mission of the church is God's mission, and that's what you're on about. So if as someone who is involved in God's mission, if you think a bishop has said something wrong or any Catholic has said something wrong, start with, like Lino said, truth and love, not with this person's a hypocrite, this person's bad, this person is heterodox, this person, you know, all these words.
I don't even know what that means.
Maybe I'll put in the show notes, but you know, but basically opposite to orthodox, really, you know, so orthodox being you follow the, you know, yeah. All right. But, yeah, but all these things that people say, the other thing I was thinking was, I've actually in the past, I've really kind of stepped back away from it now, but in the past I've dialogued with atheists in private, you know, chat groups on Facebook and things like that. And you know, yeah, sometimes it's toxic and sometimes it's not, but you know, the toxicity, not from all atheists. There were some really good ones, some beautiful people, but unfortunately there were, you know, there was a toxic group who were quite strong. So I ended up leaving that group because it wasn't productive for you either. Yeah. But the thing is, unfortunately, Bishop Baron is right, because in other Catholic private groups, they can be worse. They can be worse than atheists. And that's really sad, because we're the ones who have truth on our side and we're not using it. You know, instead we're using, you know, we're going for the scandals. We're going for the, for the bashing, you know, and that's not really us, you know. And people will say, but Jesus used strong language. Of course he did. Of course he did. And he did.
But he was charitable.
But the thing is, he was challenging people to truth. He wasn't saying you're bad, you're always going to be bad. You know, he would say things like you're on the path to hell because you're doing this, you know, for sure. All right. But the thing is, at the end of the day, he died for everyone, even those people, out of love. You know, are you willing to criticize Bishop Baron but also die for him? You know, like Christ did that. We're not good enough. We're not big enough to say that we could do that. So I think, look, I'll cap off my thoughts with this idea, and then if you guys want to contribute anything, but I go back to the Gospel of John, I go back to the Last Supper, and Jesus, you know, the great commandment, love one another as I have loved you. This is how people will know that you're my disciples, I'm paraphrasing here, because you love one another. The love in the Catholic community is what brings people in. It's what brought my wife into the Catholic Church. Was the love she received when she came to Mass with me one day, and all these people were, you know, they loved her. You're not going to bring anyone into the Catholic Church. You're not doing Jesus any favors by bashing and saying, oh, you know, all this, you know, bad stuff. These people are bad and whatever. Like you said, Caroline, what people see online, it's there forever. So if this is what a person who stumbles across a Catholic Facebook page, Twitter, whatever else, video on YouTube, and they see this great thing and they go to the comments like everyone does, everyone goes to the comments.
I do.
And what they see is this toxicity, then why would I want to be a Catholic?
Yeah.
Why, you know,
yeah,
and what it does, it says, the atheists were right. you know, the I guess the church hasn't changed. It's still just as bad as always has. But, you know, all this other confirmation bias that people have against the church, we'll never be able to challenge that. So Catholics who, you know, who feel the need to write these comments, we need you. The church needs you. Jesus needs you. Jesus needs us. And I'm not speaking to you as a person who is perfect, because I'm not. I screw up. I get angry. I want to write comments. So don't you worry. Sometimes I want to write those comments on Facebook too. but let's go back to what's been said previously, truth and love. If we want to present the truth, let's present Jesus as the truth, as the way, as the life, without bashing our fellow brothers and sisters. And let's critique and call out in charity if we need to. I'm not saying don't. We have to do that. We have to call each other out in charity, in truth and love. And let's do it that way rather than, you know, the other way, which you know, is anti the gospel. I'll get off my soapbox now.
Oh, man,
now I'm done.
Fantastic. Right. Oh, good.
All right. Wow. All
right. Oh, gonna put the high horse back in the stable now. There you go.
You need to start your own YouTube series.
No, I don't want to get bashed online. No.
Good point.
Yeah. Do you guys want to say anything else, or should we move on? I think we've had quite a bit to say, haven't we?
I think we've covered it.
All right, cool. Well, Caroline, I'll give you the scientific high horse now. Let's talk about science.
Ah, what a fine day for science.
You have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Can you reverse the polarity?
I'll do my best.
All right, so Caroline, you've got a couple of things here, so let's hand the show over to you. I'll tell you what, instead of me introducing each one, why don't you go in the order that you want to talk about? These are fascinating topics. What have you got first?
Yeah, so we're back into space. I couldn't help it. Too many exciting things happening.
There's so much great space stuff going on.
Yeah, I just had to. I just have to let it out. Okay, so okay, and I think you guys will agree with me now that I'm going to start talking. So, first topic I'd love to talk about is the Solar Dynamic Observatory, or the SDO mission from NASA, has recently released a really cool 10-year time lapse of the sun. And so good. This mission, I'll just explain briefly what the mission's about, so give you a bit of background, because I always like to fill in a bit of information first. So the SDO mission was launched on the 11th of February 2020, I think it's 2010, it's a while ago. And pretty sure it's 2010, yes. And on an Atlas V rocket from Cape Canaveral. So as at June 2020, it's been watching the sun for about 10 years. So it's a 10-year mission so far. Satellite out there, and it's just focused on the sun. And it's been watching nonstop using three different instruments on board. I'll just briefly go through those instruments. You've got HMI, which is a helio seismic and magnetic imager, which
I got one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. I got one too. But anyway, no big deal. It observes the waves on the sun caused by the sun's convection zone. It measures the magnetic field, or the photosphere, visible on the surface of the sun by measuring wavelengths. You've got AMI, I'm sure they call it AMI. I like that name.
AMI.
It's the Atmospheric Imaging Assembly. And what it does, it images the outer layers of the sun's atmosphere, or the corona, not the coronavirus. Corona.
Good to know.
And the sun's corona actually is like hotter than the surface and the inside of the sun, which is amazing.
Oh,
it's like ranges.
Wow.
Now, this is the figure I got, but there's a few different, you know, variations, million to about 10 million degrees. And I think that's probably due to the magnetic energy that's happening on the surface of the sun and all of that.
Goodness
which
me.
Is just mind-boggling anyway.
Get the tanning lotion out.
Yeah. Yes, you do need it. So it measures temperatures, it measures solar events that are captured, such as the solar flares, the solar mass, the coronal mass ejections that we're all fascinated by watching. And it takes 8 full sun images every 10 seconds, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Goodness me.
Then we've got the EVE instrument, which is made up of several smaller instruments. It's called the Extreme Ultraviolet Variability Experiment, which measures the extreme ultraviolet range coming from the sun. So it measures extreme ultraviolet light. It measures the, so I'll call it EUV, instead of saying extreme ultraviolet variability, extreme ultraviolet light brightness. Increases when the magnetic energy comes from the sun and it's more energy, it's more active. It measures the changes in the ultraviolet light and helps us to understand changes. And then it also measures different wavelengths in the different spectrums of the UV light. And it does this every 10 seconds, 24 hours a day. And this helps us to predict the amount of ultraviolet, the extreme ultraviolet coming towards Earth based on the activity on the sun, so the flares and the coronal mass ejections. So out of this mission, has come this amazing compilation of images, and they've put it into about an hour of footage. And now hold on to your horses for this information. There is 425 million high-resolution images that makes this footage.
Whoa.
It's taken 20 million gigabytes over 10 years of storage.
20 gigs?
Yes. Whoa. So that's a lot of information.
That's a lot of information, I was about to say, yeah.
Yes. And it's measured the wavelength at 17.1 nanometers, which is the extreme ultraviolet range that I was talking about. And it highlights the sun's corona at this wavelength. And when you look at the image, the sun is yellow. So it's a yellow image. There's another mission, the SOHO mission, which is a joint ESA and a NASA one. And they will measure the sun in different wavelengths. So you'll see in red and blue and green and yellow.
Wow. I think I saw a bit of that,
You will have seen it, And the different wavelengths highlight different features of the sun. So, it's really cool. But this one does it in the extreme ultraviolet range, and it gives really good, clear images of the magnetic fields, the mass ejections, the solar flares, all that activity that we see on the sun. So, just about the footage itself, it starts off in June 2010, not long after the mission was launched. So the sun is in still relative minimum. It's not that active. It's a few solar, I guess you can call them sunspots if you were looking at that, but it shows a bit of activity around the equator of the sun, and because that's where we see it all happening. So then the footage goes through the 11-year cycle. So the sun does have a cycle with its solar activity. It slowly increases and heads towards a solar maximum. Then we get to the solar maximum, which is so good to watch. All that bursting energy out of the sun. Yeah, wow. So good. Seeing all the particles fly. I love when the particles fly towards the camera and it just kind of blinks a little bit. It is just like full of energy. we see the solar maximum, and they confirmed this to actually occur in 2014. And just as a side note, they don't actually confirm solar maximum or minimum till about 6 months after this actually happened.
Oh, wow. Oh,
they don't go, okay, now. They actually, I think they have to look at the data a bit and then go, this is actually solar maximum or minimum.
Gotcha.
So, we get to see all that violent activity there. And then it starts to come down a bit again. And as we're moving towards the minimum. And so then you see the less activity, and the surface is a little bit more quiet. And it ends in June 2020. And we are actually now heading towards a minimum. And they're thinking towards the end is when we're going to end this cycle. So we're in cycle 24.
Okay.
And then we will be starting cycle 25. Go and check it out. It's on the NASA website. Look up the the SDO mission, and I'm sure we'll have a link that you can just have a look at. But yeah, the sun fascinates me so much. I just love it. And we've spoken about other missions on the podcast that we love, you know, that are, you know, launched to the sun. So yeah, gotta watch this footage. If you love the sun, it's cool to watch for an hour. I did have to skip through a little bit.
Get to the maximum now.
But,
come on.
You know, get to the maximum. It is so cool. If you don't have time to watch the whole hour, or just put it on, if you've got a smart TV, just put it on there and just let it go for an hour while you're doing something. It's really cool just to have the sun spinning around 10 years of it in 1 hour. So there you go.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
Can I say, it's like a meditation video, to be honest. It's great. It's really, it's actually really relaxing to watch the sun just slowly spin around. I mean, does this one have music? Because the one I watched had music going into it as well.
A bit of music, yeah. They did a nice production on it. Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. I think there was a little bit too where they had to recalibrate the camera. So you see that move out of focus a little bit, and then they put it back in. So there's a few events. I think there's a transit of planets and stuff like that. So there's a few interesting things that happened during the video as well. So yeah, go watch it. Go spot those things. Pretty cool. And go read about the mission too. It's very, very interesting stuff. Yeah.
So we'll have that in our show notes as a link. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
All right, Caroline, what else you got for us? Got some more exciting space stuff?
This is really cool. Let's let's go into the bizarre here. It's a little bit out of the ordinary of what we know generally about planets going around stars and stars themselves, right? So there's some research findings just published now in the Astronomical Journal on June the 5th, 2020. So it's about a planet, exoplanet, because it's not in our solar system, called KELT-9b. And this was observed and found by NASA's TESS mission. So TESS standing for Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite. Okay, so what this does, it points to a star and then it will measure the dips in light. And the dips in light will indicate that there is something transiting that star, okay? So and then they use this information gained from the dip, because dips can be like all sorts of they have a measurement there for it. You can see it in a graph. They generate a graph. So they can tell how big the planet is. They can tell about the star. You'd be amazed about how much information they can actually get out of these dips of light. So they find out about the star and about the planet and just a lot of information. So are you ready? Okay, so what they found is KELT-9b is two times the size of our Jupiter. And now, it's very big. Ooh. Its sun is two times the size of our sun. And it's hot sun, very hot sun. Okay, I think So it's not yellow like ours, a blue star, like, you know, really hot.
Oh,
that's really interesting.
The planet takes only 36 hours to orbit the star. 44,000 times more energy than it gets from the sun than our Earth. Okay.
Oh, wow.
It is one of the hottest planets that we know about so far. With a surface temperature of about 4,300 degrees Celsius.
Ooh, that's hot.
Not a holiday spot.
No, it's like right up there. It's right in the and it's surface temperature can be hotter than some stars even. That's what they're saying.
That's something.
It's quite hot. And then its atmosphere practically boils into space.
Yeah.
And they're calling it a hot Jupiter. It's like a big gas giant planet. Okay. Our Jupiter is not a hot Jupiter because it's like way out in the solar system. And that kind of, and they haven't found any Jupiter so far like ours. Our Jupiter is special.
We're unique, aren't we? Our solar system
quite
is
unique.
Our Jupiter like planet is in the wrong spot compared to other solar systems. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. As a side note, it's actually in the right spot because its gravity is so strong that it pulls in everything to it. And it kind of protects the Earth as it pulls in masses of, gigantic things that could hit
this is
the
so
Earth.
Fascinating,
so
isn't
that's
it?
A good side yes. note. So you just think about that for a bit. Yeah,
yeah, we're alive. That. We exist because yeah. Jupiter is where it is in our solar system.
Yeah.
That's a,
and in yeah. every other observation, they've seen these Jupiter-like planets quite close, and so they're always yeah. called a hot Jupiter.
Hot Jupiter.
It's true.
Can I pull you back for yeah. 1 second? Did
sure.
you say that the what is it? It takes 36 hours for this planet to go around the sun.
Yeah, it's super
so
fast.
It's a
36
it's
like
hour
whizzing
year,
around.
Then.
Yes, exactly.
I would not be able to get everything I need to get done in the year on that planet.
No, you don't want to be there. It's too hot. Time goes too quickly. I'm just going to tell you a bit more about it while you won't want to be on it.
Right, it's
well.
Not on my bucket list
oh,
now.
No.
It's not on my bucket
no,
list
no.
now.
No.
Yeah.
No, they've found that KELT-9b is actually tidally locked, okay? So only one side of the planet faces its star, which is exactly like our moon.
Oh. Yep.
So we only see one yep. side of our moon, okay? So, you know, we have the dark side of the moon that we don't see and we have the yeah, surface yeah. that we always do
always
see.
See.
Yeah.
So, okay. Here we go. Okay, so Tess has learnt, apart from the stuff that I've told you, that its star also spins extremely fast. It's
oh, wow.
38 times faster than our sun. It
oh, wow.
spins 38
Whoa.
Times faster. It does it in 16 hours for one Ooh. Rotation. Okay.
Oh, my goodness me. Wow.
And it is 56% hotter than our sun. All right.
Whoa.
I want to see a time lapse of this star.
It's crazy. There is a yeah. generated yeah. graphic that you can see. Yeah.
Wow.
So it spins so fast that it kind of has squashed into like an oval shape. So it's not beautiful spherical
Whoa.
Round like
oh.
our own sun. It's
oh,
more of
sense.
A sphere.
Yeah.
It's like
sphere.
It's
oh,
kind of squished. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
I've never
so
heard of that before.
This.
That's amazing.
No, no. I have more. I have more.
I'm already falling out of my seat here.
It's not ended yet. So its poles, okay, the poles of this star are hotter than the middle, okay?
Wow.
Oh.
And they are brighter as well. And they call this gravity darkening. There's a term for it, okay? So the
okay.
poles are hotter and brighter than the equator of the sun or the star. So here we go. It's another fascinating thing. KELT-9b actually, okay, so think of our sun and we orbit around the equator of the sun.
Yeah.
Can you see my right. hand moving? I wish everybody could see. this one orbits the poles. So it goes the other way.
Oh.
It goes up and around, up
around.
And around.
Oh,
up
my
and
goodness
around.
Me. Oh, wow.
So what happens, you know, to the planet is that it gives the planet unusual seasons. So summer is when the planet passes over the poles and
okay.
winter when it passes the equator.
Equator.
Okay,
oh.
so you get summer, winter. So
and nothing in between.
That's it. Summer, winter.
Yeah.
And it orbits, like I mentioned, in 36 hours. And so it experiences the seasons twice in a year and each season is only 9 hours long. More
yeah.
reasons why you don't want to be there. It's like, oh,
no.
summer. You've just put on your togs ready to go for a swim or a boil, whatever. And then it's time to like 9 hours later, oh, man, I'm freezing. Okay. But freezing, having said that, it's still really hot. So
hold on, Caroline. There's no difference that happens in Melbourne, is it?
Yeah,
four seasons in one day.
Yeah,
that's true.
Right.
You go, when you go out, you've got to take your coat, you've got
coat,
to take
yes.
your thongs.
Thongs.
Or
yeah.
whatever, sandals, jumper, what people sandals. Call them.
Exactly.
yeah, you've got to wear four layers in Melbourne. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you've got to take your umbrella, you've got to take your
yep.
sunscreen, everything. Yeah.
That's right.
Anyway, and then yeah. they suspect that because the seasons change so rapidly on this planet, there would be like really wild weather, like really wild
oh
winds
my goodness me.
Because, you know,
yeah.
it's hot, cold,
yeah.
imagine all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's pretty cool. So this planet was discovered in 2017 and they measured these transits between the 18th of July and the 11th of September 2019 and they measured
awesome.
27 transits and that's how they got all that information. Isn't that amazing?
Are there stars like this in other parts of, like, in other solar systems, or is this a really unique star? Do you know? Or
Well, this is the hottest one, okay? The hottest Jupiter.
It sounds
that
like
they
a freak amongst
so
other stars.
And it is like, yes, they were saying that it's pretty unusual. And they were confused by all this information. They had to really make a lot of, you know, had to really analyze to make sense. But isn't it amazing just from a dip of light that they can get all this information? And you can actually read about it and they do explain. There's a bit of a video as well that tells you how they've, you know, come up with all this information, which is really, it's amazing. I mean, from a dip of light, I would just go, oh, yeah, there's a planet. much information out of it. So there's other planets that they've discovered, you know, that may be Earth-like but are really big, or there's another Jupiter they've found and it's, like, really young and, you know, they're all different. So,
yeah.
And you just think, all the stars you see out there most likely have a planet or a few planets,
planets
orbiting
them. That's correct.
So,
yeah,
there's a lot to discover. I mean, we will never, ever, ever discover everything.
No, that's right. No, the number of planets in our galaxy number in the billions, don't they?
We can't even know. It's just, again, an estimate.
Can't fathom,
You can't. Exactly. It's just. Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
So much to think about. Yeah. I just love it. That's why I had to, my space energy was like bursting. I had to let it out.
You were hotter than Celt 9 for a second there, the way you were going. Spinning faster than it was,
But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that.
Your name's like Caroline in what's Celt.
No, I love it. I mean, and doesn't it just fill you with a sense of wonder how, you know, we're just here on this one little, you know, and isn't our solar system sort of on the, and I use the word loosely, like in the kind of the corner of our galaxy, like, you know, the further, further edges. Corner, no, but like further out compared to where all the action is as well.
And it's fairly calm and, you know, things to be designed just for us, you know.
Yeah, we're the outer suburbs of the galaxy.
We totally are. We really are. And it's nice and quiet here. I like it. Yeah. You don't want to be out where it's more energetic and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah, we're the city of Casey of the Milky Way.
It's just quiet suburban, Casey, and a lot of COVID apparently. So
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, actually, let's get to that. So before I do, we're gonna pass over to Lino in a sec, and we're going to do a something personal.
I bet you don't know anything about me.
You were born in Phoenix. You went to school in Tempe. You're an only child. Your favorite show is something called The Real Housewives of Atlanta, and your favorite book is Kendall Jenner's Instagram feed.
How did you know all that?
So something personal is a topic where we sometimes talk about our lives. Now, this one is not directly about us. This is a bit more loosely related. As we're recording today, Victoria is going through a second wave of COVID-19. So the rest of Australia are doing quite well. Fortunately, that's a really good thing. But unfortunately, in Victoria, we're experienced a second wave, which is actually, and Caroline, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's worse than the first wave that we had. So
the first wave we had was people coming from overseas and they were in quarantine.
Yeah.
Okay. And they were, compared to numbers we're having now, they were quite manageable. And we had a the curve went up and then we managed to squash it and go down. And we had a few numbers in between.
We had a few 0 days as well, didn't we?
We did, and we thought we were coming out of it until very recently, where it has leaked out into the community now, and we are, compared to other countries, we're still quite lucky and we're up in the 200s now, like that's new, but it is in the community. So, like, I guess 200s are what we're measuring, but we're not really sure exactly how many's out there. So it's out, like it's being let out.
It's
now,
in the community,
unfortunately. So we've just started lockdown again. We've been in lockdown for a few days now.
Couple of days,
So we've got the four reasons why we can't go out. Why we can go out? Was it shopping, work if you can, start work and study, caregiving. What was the other
medical appointments? Exercise, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah,
really.
So it's for another 6 weeks, isn't it, guys?
Yeah,
for 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
So into August. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get to work from home a bit longer, which I'm happy about.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
The rest I'm not happy about.
Yeah,
that's true.
These are called stage three restrictions where we are. So we had different stages, and basically with each stage, they kind of up the game. Last time almost went to stage four, which would have been a complete and total lockdown, but that didn't happen, fortunately. I don't think we're going to be doing that. Or actually, you know what? I have no idea anymore because I keep saying I don't think this is going to happen and something happens. But we are, look, we're in a precarious position at the moment. And so we've gone into stage three lockdown in order to try
and all the other states of Australia have locked us out. We have the borders are closed. Unfortunately.
Yeah. All the borders out of Victoria are closed. So there's no leaving. And in fact, it's metropolitan Melbourne. So it's all of the suburbs, the city suburbs, we're 45 kilometers from the city. We're part of
Greater Melbourne.
Melbourne. All the, apart from one shire, in the one country shire, all the other country shires are not locked down.
Because they've had cases there. Yeah.
And hopefully it stays that way. And they're calling it ring fencing, where they close. They close off metropolitan Melbourne to the rest of the country so people can't – the rest of country Victoria so they can't go there. So where am I getting at? We can't – we're in that situation now where birthday parties are by Skype and, if you were doing any exercise – for example, my karate classes with Damien are on Zoom again, which is unfortunate, and all those things happen. But going walking is something that a lot of people start to do. Isabel and I noticed this. We look out the window and there's more people walking than ever before now.
Yeah. I went out for a walk yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. But Lino, you found a very interesting article that's worth noting. And that is, it's basically about walking well, because when we walk, we want the benefits of walking. And if we want the benefits of walking, then we have to walk well. So Lino, why don't you give us a bit of a summary of some of the things that you read and learned from this article?
Well, like you said, guys, we're in lockdown, and like you said, I have noticed a lot of people walking either with their partners and it's with their children, and also bike riding as well.
Yeah,
as well, there's a lot more people. Actually, it's funny. I see a lot more people coming out because of this.
Yes,
before.
It's true.
I don't know if you noticed.
No, I have noticed.
It's very true. Yeah, I agree.
A lot of people are going for walks now, and it's beautiful that people, of course, walking their dogs. I'm not sure people will be.
Can I walk my chickens?
I was about to say. You can probably walk any pet you want.
Yeah,
you
know, Spike would follow me. I know she would.
She would. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And
walk my fish. Just hold the fish bowl. Until you're
yeah.
A little bowl.
Yeah, not a good idea.
No.
So quickly, it's just like, there was an article that I was reading about, and the really funny thing he was talking about is that we found a new lifestyle, and he calls it the Jabba the Hutt style. So Star Wars is Jabba the Hutt. It's a huge outfit. Yeah, so it's just like we're just sitting there, do not much. And then, when I read about it, I'll just quickly, just little dot points. It's like understanding the mechanics of walking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone knows that you put your foot, one foot forward, another foot forward, another foot forward, and all that stuff. But the way they say it is you always put your foot forward, but heel. Then follow with your heel and toe.
Right.
Now, I don't know if you guys, if your parents have told you, "Oi, walk properly." And they go, "I am." He goes, "No, heel and toe and everything." And there's people who drag their feet. And walk in different
ways. Or clomp,
ways.
clomp is the other one. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So what happens is that people will walk with their toes before heel.
Uh-huh.
And it's their drag.
Yeah.
And that's what, and I'll just admit, I did it when I was a kid. And then you look at your shoes and you go, "Oh, why is one side all worn out and the other side's not?"
yeah.
In a sense, that's the same when you're driving with your tires. If your tires are in different ways,
they're not
balanced. So that's another thing too. So and also, just quickly, it's all about picking the right shoes as well.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just. I know I'm not being. I'm not going to be in trouble saying this, but I'm not going to be sexist. But for ladies who want to choose the right shoe they want to wear, they go, "Okay, check. Oh, I love this shoe." And
you
also
just
for
say
the
heels.
Men,
go say it. Heels.
Like for the heels. And also, look, I'm looking for the men as well. They look for the next awesome shoe they want to wear, and they'll put them on, and they go, "Oh, it's a bit tight. Now I can handle this." Not knowing it about maybe a few weeks till your toes and your heel and your ankles and your legs start hurting, it's because you haven't chosen the right shoe. Just quickly Bernadette was looking for a good shoe. She was wearing, but she's trying to find the shoe that'll fit her and everything. Well, she went to a shop called Athlete's Foot, where they actually measure your feet.
Yes.
And all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. It's almost a reality for Caroline, if you remember, when we were looking for our school shoes.
Mm.
And our parents used to, and the shoe shops, I don't know if you're sure they do that anymore. You go to any shoe shop except Athlete's Foot, they don't measure your feet.
No.
They just go, oh, you want that shoe? You can have it. But in Athlete's Foot, you'll measure your foot, and then they'll make sure that you got the right shoes to fit you. And then it's a balancing act with, is it comfort or fashion?
Yeah.
Now, the shoe marketing companies, they have to get this right. If you want a shoe that fits you and looks good, wear it and everything like that. So I wanted to go through that. Just like picking
before
the right
you do,
shoe.
We collect no revenue for Athlete's Foot, but if they do want to sponsor us, we're happy to do that. SQPN.com/Oz. Okay, yeah, sorry. Let me go.
Exactly. I just wanted to go a real quick one about it. You know, it's and also on the article, they were talking about tying your shoelaces. I am not kidding you guys. Let me have a look and tell you there are 200 ways of tying your shoelaces.
Whoa.
And I only know one of them.
Yeah. Exactly.
My parents told me just one. And I don't know what they are, but maybe you can look at the article and the little clip awesome. About it. But yeah.
This is basically... I only know the one I learned on play school when I was a kid. That's it.
Which one was that? I can't remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So yeah. That's just basically the quick one I want to talk to you guys about. It's just finding the right shoe and also walking correctly, as in heel and toe, back straight, and also breathing, you know? I love the Facebook, what's it called? Activities that Caroline's husband does, Phil.
He's
running around with his phone, he's talking to his about things and everything. Great. And it's and you see that sort of exercise as well. And running, I won't talk about running because that's different.
Yeah. That's a just complete different thing.
It's a different concept. But I'm saying that in walking and running, it's almost the same concept, is in that in the way you run and walk and the way the shoes you wear, they just have to make sure that you wear the right shoes and the way you walk. And also, if you're starting from a beginner way, don't try to climb a hill or...
Yes, start easy. Yeah, don't try to be here on day one.
Exactly. So start slow, like a sort of a medium way, and then once you gradually get stronger and more confident, then go for runs and walks in groups and into the hills and everything. So yeah. I wanted to make it short and sweet, guys, because I don't want to get too much into it, but everyone knows how to walk. It's just the way we have to go through. Those steps. So yeah.
It's a good reminder. Thanks.
I like your article because it also was talking about how you can notice things about your body when you're walking too.
Exactly.
For example, if you're and I notice this sometimes where you might put too much weight to one side of your body to compensate for pain or weakness on the other side.
Exactly.
And saying, you know, it's a good time for you to see your GP. So if you are doing more walking than you normally, you might notice some things that you need to go to the doctor about to get looked at, which is good.
Exactly.
It might be just something simple like getting corrective shoes or walking with your back a bit straighter, or you know, there are some things that you know, it was saying that when you walk to engage your core, like your tummy muscles as well, that's important to help you keep your back straight up without, because sometimes, you know, people say keep your back up straight and we stiffen up and, you know, it's really unnatural and uncomfortable, but there are natural ways to have a straight back as well. And that, there's some good things in there. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't want everyone to walk like the military. I know.
Yeah. It's not like left, right, left, just like that, you know.
You know, left, right, left, right. Everyone has their natural way of walking. It's just like if it feels comfortable with you, it's just if you think you're having a pain in certain places, see where the pain is and then have a look at before it gets worse.
Mm.
Because I've seen people who have not done that before and the injuries are sometimes permanent.
It can become injury over a long term.
Exactly.
Yes,
and it takes years to rehab with it.
Yeah.
And because it's maybe because you didn't walk properly. And like I said, maybe because he didn't wear the right shoes, you know. And just a side note is, when Bernie and I went to the Philippines, we went through these hills to go to a waterfall.
Yep.
I saw a guy carrying a pack of cement while wearing thongs.
Oh my
Whoa.
God!
Whoa!
And he looked okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's probably been doing it for a long time, Lino. He's probably been doing
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's because of the conditioning and the way they've done
conditioning,
these things for
of course,
years and everything like that. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness me. So that's another thing as well. Just keep in mind as well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to confuse you in a way. I'm just thinking, wow, this is the way people, this is the way they've been brought up and all that stuff.
Yeah, you can't condition your body for certain things. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we'll put a link to that article in our show notes as well, and if there are any fitness fanatics out there who've got some tips, or any doctors out there who've got some tips for walking, then hit us up and let us know so we can share those with our listening audience as well. All right, so we'll finish off the show there. I actually wanted to finish. There's a bit of follow-up to go through today. Actually, Caroline, I might throw it to you first. You wanted to talk about your husband Phil and something great that he did. Was it yesterday? I think
he did it yesterday.
Time of recording.
Yeah, so this week was supposed to be the celebration of NAIDOC Week, which is the celebration of our Indigenous people of Australia and Torres Strait Islanders. And the idea is to share heritage, culture, history, their knowledge, to highlight important issues and to highlight achievements of people in their community and stuff. And usually there'd be all sorts of community events, but because of COVID-19, you know, we can't physically, they can't physically have those celebrations. And I'll just quickly mention the theme for NAIDOC Week this week is Always Was, Always Will Be, which I really like because it recognises that the First Nations people have occupied and cared for this continent for over 65,000 years. And it invites all Australians to embrace and acknowledge the true history of this country, the history which dates back thousands of generations. So these people have been here for... That's a really long time, you know, so it's good to recognise our Indigenous people. So what happened is since it was postponed, they held a virtual march run event. And so it's being held. So this is today's the 11th of July. So it's held between the 10th and 12th of July, and it's to do some fundraising for the cause to promote health and well-being as well of our Indigenous people. And you can do all sorts of things. So it's a virtual walk or run. You can choose your distance. You know, you can do 3, 5, 10, 21.1, 42.2 kilometer walks or runs.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Phil yesterday, he has been running for a while and he managed to get up to 10 kilometers a little while ago. So he opted for the 10 kilometer run and he did that yesterday, which I'm very proud of him for doing and for taking part in this cause. And as a result, he's going to get a beautiful medal, and it's a beautifully designed a medal, and it's designed by Indigenous artist Laura Thompson. So, go on the Clothing the Gap. So it's Clothing the Gap website, and you can also buy merchandise there. I would love to buy one of their t-shirts. I just really like it. And it's got the Always Was, Always Will Be logo and a few others. And so I think that's just a really nice way that we can, you know, take part and support our Indigenous family in this country. So just wanted to quickly mention that.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. All right. So I'll follow up. So you would remember if you've listened to this podcast often that in episode 35, we did an episode called A Catholic Perspective, and we got more feedback than we ever have before, which is great, which is good. So if you remember, we spoke about a Catholic perspective on the Black Lives Matter movement. So basically, Caroline and I had a discussion where we were exploring how the movement and how the death of George Floyd in the United States had an impact on Australian culture as well. So, and it brought up things for our Indigenous community. And so I'll get people to listen to that. I want to do the episode all over again. But if you want to listen to episode 35 and hear our discussion. So I wanted to briefly go through some of the feedback. I can't read everything that everyone said because there's a lot. But firstly, just from a point of gratitude, thank you for the feedback we have received. So I just want to start with Joan on YouTube, who said, while I applaud your attempt to be open-minded, it's practically impossible to talk about Black Lives Matter without injecting politics or theology. The movers and shakers of this organization that grew out of the phrase Black lesbians, transgenders, their focus seems to be to bring down the current culture and place it within neutered humanity, or to train up future generations with an aversion to heterosexuality and nuclear family, and effectively end the human race altogether. So I thanked Joan for her comment on YouTube. And again, I can't read my whole comment because there's quite a bit. But what I said to her was that, you know, it is difficult to take politics out of a discussion like this. And of course, you know, we would never support organizations within a larger movement that that, you know, want to promote anything that goes against Catholic teaching. So that's, you know, that's pretty clear there. What we were doing was basically talking about a section of the community, especially in Australia, who were feeling that they weren't being listened to and that their dignity wasn't being listened to. And dignity of a human person being created in God's image is something that we're all about as Catholics. So I thanked Joan and I said for her comments. And she replied, you know, she understood our intent. And you didn't have to do this, Joan. She apologized. And Joan, you don't like, please, people, like, never apologize for your comments. It's okay. Because she was worried that she came off across as a bit strong, but not at all. I read it in charity and I thank you for your comment in charity as well. So what I finished by saying to Joan was saying, please pray for us and we'll be praying for her as well. You know, and we do appreciate people's comments. Got another one that was a clarification by David Schutz now on Twitter. Now, firstly, I have to say that I contacted David privately because I wanted to know how to say his surname because I didn't want to mispronounce it. So yes. Now he made it easy for me because, he said it's like Schultz without the L, and we know some Schultzes.
We
so
know
that
Schultz.
Was really,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Say, that's
yes,
really good.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, David, basically just clarified with me that, cause I said that, the proportion of Indigenous people who die in prison is higher than any other group. And that might have been the case at one point, but it's not the case anymore. They're not the highest. But and so he brought in, and I haven't got it here in front of me, but he brought in an Indigenous Anglican pastor, I think it was. And he said, basically, it's not that Indigenous people are dying at a higher rate. It's just that the rate is way too high, which, you know, which is totally, you know, which makes perfect sense. So while we have seen an improvement, which is good, we're not there yet. It's still too high, even if they're not the most represented group who are dying in prison anymore. David, I hope that I got that right. But, you know, hit me up on Twitter if I need to clarify further. So there was that one. And there was one more. And this person wanted to remain anonymous, and I respect that completely. There are good reasons for why they wanted to remain anonymous. So I'm going to refer to this person as Catholic in Michigan. And I apologize to you because I can't read everything that you wrote, but I would tell our listeners we did have a good dialogue. But I'll just read, I guess, the ends of this person's email. But it said, and by the way, Catholic in Michigan identified that that they are a Black person as well, and had a different perspective as well. But said the following: by saying Black Lives Matter, you're implying that they didn't prior to this movement. When George Floyd was killed, his killer was sent to jail. As accomplices were prosecuted, the only thing that protests did was destroy poor neighborhoods and ensure most cops will stay away from for fear of persecution. The crime will still happen, the bigotry will still happen, and the middle-class protesters will go back home to their safe neighborhoods. If you want to help Black people promote the family of God for all people, if you want to help poor people promote good books and help us all think, have thorough and poignant discussions. Help us all reclaim our Christian heritage so that we don't so that we have the tools to think and make better decisions. But please stop apologizing to my skin. And so she was very passionate in her response and her comments to us. And I can see why, because she's sort of right in the thick of it. And so that's where she's coming from. So I wrote back to her and I explained the impact of George Floyd's death on our Indigenous community. And I said to her, you know, we'd never criticize you or want any harm to come to you or any bad things to come to you because you happen to have a different point of view, or you didn't agree with some of the things that we said. So I thank Catholic in Michigan for those comments as well. And we are all about dialogue here. We're all about, you know, us saying things and listening to what other people have to say. And we'll always listen. While we may not all agree with each other, I think what Catholic in Michigan and I, or and I say us as an extension, did agree is that we're all trying to do God's work. And that's probably the most important thing. And in all of this, in wanting human dignity for everyone, and in focusing on Black people at a particular time when they were feeling hurt because of what they saw, we want to see Christ in that situation and see everyone's dignity upheld, restored, affirmed, all of those things that we think about and care about as Catholics. So that's feedback. That was a lot. I've never had to do so much feedback before, but it's good. I'm really grateful. Yeah. Really grateful. And so please keep sending feedback. And of course, in this follow-up section, I do again want to mention to everyone, we had Archbishop Commensoli on our show last episode, and you should listen. It was a lot of fun. It was great. We were really grateful to have him. And so episode 36 of the Catholics of Oz, if you want to check that out. And if you want to mention anything about that episode and pass a message to him through us, we'd be more than happy to mention it on the show. But again, Archbishop Commensoli, thank you so much for being on our episode last 2 weeks ago. And I hope we can have you back in the future. We'll see how I've set it up now. It only works, but it only works when Lino says it. We found out. So yeah,
I was about to say, yeah, Arnie did this one. Archbishop wasn't me.
Yeah. All right. So I do want to finish off the episode. If you listened to episode 36, you would have heard Archbishop Commensoli praying the prayer for the protection of Saint Joseph on the Archdiocese of Melbourne. Now, this prayer, since that podcast, actually, my family and I have been praying it together. So every night we pray it before we go to bed. And I think it's a beautiful prayer. So what we were thinking is that we'll pray it at the end of every episode until, like Archbishop Commensoli had said, until there's a vaccine or until we're out of the woods, you know, we know that we're clear for good. So, guys, I'll lead us in the prayer because it's going to be awkward for the three of us to try and read it over microphones.
And there's a little bit of a delay as well.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Joseph, you were receptive to God working in your life. Help us by your prayers at this time of trial. You kept Jesus and Mary under your watchful care. May your prayers assist our local church to respond to those in need. You taught the Christ child your trade and prayers. Help us to follow his example of love. You are part of God's plan for all humanity. Assist us to be vigilant and responsible this day. You spent your life in service. May we be mindful of others, particularly the elderly and vulnerable, caring for them in these difficult days. You trusted in the clear primacy of God over all history and every situation. Help us to grow in faith and pray to the Father, thy will be done.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So thank you for joining us for episode 37 of the Catholics of Oz. Once again, a big episode. Before we go, we'd like to mention some of our patrons and say thank you to them because they are the ones who make it possible for the Catholics of Oz to continue. So today I'd love to thank Renee C., Elizabeth B., Zach W., Nolan O., and William T. Because of your generous donations and the other generous donations of our patrons, SQPN at sqpn.com/give, the Catholics of Oz and all of the other shows on StarQuest are able to continue. Now, you would have heard in the Catholics of Oz feed and all the other feeds for the other StarQuest shows that we have an urgent appeal going on at the moment to be able to fill in the gap so that SQPN can continue from September onwards. So please, if you're able to up your pledge or if you're able to start becoming a patron or even just give a one-time gift, the network would be very, very grateful for that. Thank you for those who are patrons. If you can't make a donation, we understand. Please pray for us because that's also really important too. So what are your thoughts on today's topics? We've had a lot to say. You can send us feedback by visiting sqpn.com/oz, and you can also find our show notes there as well. You can also visit StarQuest's Facebook page at facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. And don't forget that Catholics of Oz have a Facebook page, and thank you for the new people that joined recently. We want more. We want to talk to more of you. So it's at facebook.com/CatholicsOfOz, spelt with a Z. So join us in discussing our latest episodes. I think Caroline is going to post pretty soon about her chickens starting to lay eggs, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah, they've started laying eggs, finally. Yeah. Oh, they're so good. You have to, yeah. It's real free-range eggs.
So
real,
get ready for really a chicken egg post.
Free-range.
Yes, yes.
Maybe Caroline can discuss which came first, but we'll talk, that's another episode.
Well, in my case, the chicken, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
well, to her house, it was the chicken, yeah. yes. And don't forget, you can also email us, as some have, thankfully, at catholicsofoz@sqpn.com. Caroline, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, guys. Fun as always.
Yeah. And Lino, thanks a lot for all your contributions as well. They were great.
I think I'm going to have some gin and tonic. And where's my antipasto?
Well, I know here. Someone.
I asked for it.
Yeah. I'm just going to have a cup of tea. It's like only 12:30 in the middle of the day, Lino. Come on.
Jesus.
Wait a little bit.
Well, okay, you know, lockdown, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, lockdown. Yeah. Okay, start now.
That's it. I'm just trying to get to the end of the show. Here we go. And once
we're
again,
we're going to go find out the numbers in Victoria now. Anyway.
Yeah, we are. Yes, yeah. All right, so let's do that. Once again, I'm Lindsay Sand, and thank you all so much for listening to the Catholics of Oz on StarQuest. There we go. Thanks for letting me get to the end, guys.
Eventually.
Yeah, that was good. Good All fun. Right.